We got a lot to cover. We always got a lot to cover, but tonight we got to really cover it. So there'll be no stopping until we get it done. Because this is going to be one of the most important tour portions that you and I has ever had. And we've had some incredible tour portions. But as I was going over this, the Lord impressed upon me by His Spirit to make sure that I took this thing and elevated this tour portion to a level that we can practically understand it. Everybody in here has a responsibility for yourself. As individuals, we all have a responsibility. And if we notice that our tour portion seems like they've been repeating each other, why do you think that is? You think maybe God just run out of stuff to talk about, so He said, let me just repeat myself? Or was He trying to run it home to everybody to get this, get this, get this, get this, because this is critical to what you're going to need in your life? I believe the latter is true. He's just trying to repeat Himself over and over because that's how you get it. He knows that man gets it because you keep doing the same thing over and over. You keep being repetitive and you get hold to it. It's like anything we do in life. When you're doing something the same way you're doing it, it's like, I think about it like this. You get in your boat, you're going out, and you take the same route all the time. Same route all the time. It's like, you don't even have to think about it. You know it's the next turn, you know the next pole, you know the next, you know it by, it's embedded in you. But you turn around and give that same boat and same wheel to another guy that's never done it but one time, you think he's going to be a little more cautious when he's driving? But you know, you can look, you can talk with people. It's like you are, by nature, you turn the wheel because you know the turn's there because you've done it so many times. Well, this word that He's been telling us about has everything to do with the tabernacle. It's been repeating the stuff about the tabernacle, what you bring, how much you bring, what you bring, how much you bring, what the priest wears, his garments, how they're supposed to look. So He's telling us how we're supposed to conduct ourselves, how we're supposed to look. And so He's getting us to understand that He's repeating it for a reason because He don't want us to miss out. So this year's feast cycle is going to be the most wonderful and most faith-building, power-building in your life than anyone we've ever done. Especially when you hear what this tour portion has to say, because you'll be ready for it. And so we don't have but a little bit more time, so we have a couple more tour portions before we actually get into this feast cycle. But this Passover, when it comes, I believe God is going to give us all the information. He has been giving us information this whole time to have us ready to actually receive what has been meant to do and position ourselves for what it's been appointed for. It's been appointed. And we're in our time. And you got to believe that for yourself. You know, I can believe it for me, and the person next to you can believe it for them, but if you don't believe it for yourself, it won't happen. We're the ones that hold ourselves back. I know we want to blame it on other people. There's nothing to do with other people. Absolutely nothing. There's only one person can hold you back, and that's you. That's the only one. The devil can't even hold you back. If he could hold you back, you wouldn't be here tonight. He can't hold you back. He's tried time and time again, and he's failed. But I want to start out with, I got so much, I don't know where I want to start. But I'm going to read something off the Torah portion because I think it's valuable for our lives and for us to understand. I just want you to know, nobody can hold you back but you, and you got to realize that when God moves, He moves in a powerful way. He does this for our benefit, amen? He wants the absolute best for us. So let me just get the Torah portion open, then we'll get started. So this, again, understanding Yah's likes and dislikes. This is Torah portion number 23, and it's Pickle Day. Pickle Day, everybody say Pickle Day. It's Hebrew for amounts of or inventory of. Amounts of or inventory of. And we're going to be looking at Exodus 38, 21 through 40, verse 3. And this is the last of Exodus. This is it. After this, then we'll move on to the next book. But I want you to keep in mind how important it is that God unfolds this for us. So let me just read this to you from the book of Jeremiah. How many's ever heard people quote, "I know the plans I have for you"? If you've been here, you've heard it said many times. "I know the plans I am planning for you," declares Jehovah. So if you got your Bibles, you're in Jeremiah 29, and you're looking at verse 11. But how many know people quote that and don't realize that there's a context to this verse? And so it has been misquoted many times. So I'm going to back up to verse 10 and read the context of this verse, or this particular verse 11. So go to verse 10. "For thus said Jehovah, when 70 years are completed," is it going to be before or when it's completed? Then you can quote 11. I mean, understand that. "When 70 years are completed at Babel," he's talking about those in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, "and I shall visit you and establish my good word toward you to bring you back to this place." What place is he talking about bringing them back to? Jerusalem. He's bringing them back to Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? Now we can quote verse 11, because now we got the context. But first we got to get something complete. That what has been complete is the 70 years had ended. But one thing God noticed, he says, when that 70 years completes, they still had a lot of Babylon on them when they got there. And you can either let your Babylon or your past dictate your life, or you can trust God when he says, "I know the plans I have. You don't know, but I know the plans. You might have gave up on your dreams, but I didn't give up on your dreams." Do you understand this? He's trying to let us know it don't matter what's happened in your past, that's over with. Because it's been complete. Everybody say it's been complete. My past has been complete. You know that you got involved in all sorts of things and got hooked up with all kinds of things. But do you know the plans that he has for you? We study about our failures and our faults and all the trouble we've been through, and we still suffer emotionally today. Some people still in this building, you suffering emotionally from your past. But verse 10 now can be read. "For I know the plans I am planning for you," declares Jehovah. I know the plans. You don't know them, but I know them. And if you wasn't part of God's plan, you'd have lost the battle when you was in Babylon. You wouldn't have made it through Babylon, but you made it through for a reason, because God knows the plans he has for you. Can you imagine in 2022 that you wake up to this, how powerful that'll be? Can you imagine waking up to the power source that's available for us just based on the fact that he knows the plans that he has for you? Plans of peace and not of evil. So what are you going to look forward to this year? Plans of peace. Not of evil. Plans of peace. So when you think in those terms, do you have anxiety? There's no anxiety. You don't have to be anxious about anything, because Jehovah says, "I know the plans I have for you, but what you got to get over is coming out of Babel." Now you can let what hurt you in the past, what messed with you in the past, dictate your future. You can let that happen, but it'll be on you. It's not the church that can fix that for you. It's not doing a slide presentation that's going to fix that for you. You got to let the power of Almighty God by a set-apart spirit come in and do the work for you. That's why Christ gave us the way to Him. Because of Christ, we have access to the set-apart spirit. We have access to the power to get it done. But you think the devil's going to leave you alone if he saw in your life that if he just dangles it out, your past in front of you, it kind of messes with you and you kind of get in a little slump? He knows that. He's going to keep dangling it out there. He's going to keep doing it. The moment you try to take one step forward in the presence and power of God to do great things, He's going to dangle it in front of you again. You're going to say, man, and everybody, there's not a person in here, once you come, you get born again, and you don't wish you would have done things different back then. That's just the way it is, because we're so grateful that He saved me, and He didn't have to. But you can't go back and fix that. But you can do everything starting today to be the person God wants you to be. And it's not a person that's plagued with Babylon. How many know that's over? Say bye to Babylon. That's over with. I'm not going to have any traits of that past behavior in this new year. I'm not going to have it. And if you'll let that motivate you, you'll see when you quote this verse, you realize that it's after the 70 years was over. It was complete. My whole point in saying that is 70 years have been complete for a lot of you, but you have drugged that same practice with you. And you can't have that happen. The same stuff that would make you feel a certain way to certain people when you was in Babylon, you still have that same thing that triggers and do the same thing today. But you're not that person no more. Do you understand that? You've been bought with a price. We've been purchased. We're the redeemed. Our future's bright. He says, my plans are for peace, not for evil. I mean, thank God that you're going to have peace this year. And to give you a future and an expectancy. How many wants a future and an expectancy? Well, this is what it says. So I just figured I'd put that in there. I don't have it in the presentation, but this is just some thoughts that I had today of how we get so much in bondage because we don't understand that when we was in bondage, you couldn't do a thing about it. You were in Babylon. You were there because that's what was destined for your life. You couldn't do anything about it. That sin had control, and there's nothing you could do about it. But when He set you free, you're no longer in Babylon. Those 70 years have been complete. Now you're free, but we still kind of drag that same thing in with and trying to serve God. And we gotta cut those ties. Amen. How many are going to cut ties tonight? I'm going to show you how to do that. The Word of God is important. The topics in this portion, chapter 38, verses 21 through 31, that's the goal for tonight. And if we get through four or five of these verses, we'll be in good shape. We don't need many, because the way I position the Scripture throughout this, we could do them later, but these Scripture have to be read so we can hear what the Word says. You don't have to hear what I'm saying. You have to hear what the Word says, because when you leave here, it'll still be the Word. Come tomorrow, it'll still be the Word. Next week, it'll still be the Word. And when you step into Passover service, it'll still be that same Word. It won't change. It'll be the Word, and you'll have it with you, and you can use it for your benefit. So we know that chapter 39, 1 through 30, talks about the priestly garment. We're not going to get on any of that. We've been over that a couple of times. We're going to go over it again at some point. We're not sure how far we'll get for tomorrow, but that won't happen tonight. And then chapter 40, verse 1 through 3, set up of the tabernacle. Now, we could do the three verses if we was starting there, but we're not starting there. We now have come to the final Torah portion in Shemot, Exodus, and we begin this last portion of Shemot by taking a look at the inventory of what was collected. So we know what was collected. He told us what was collected, but they had the inventory there. Why they had the inventory? If you don't do inventory, you don't know what you got. You know, most businesses fail because they don't have good inventory. Do you know that? Do you know that? They're just going along doing what they do best, and then nobody's checking on what we got, and all of a sudden they get a big order, they can't fulfill it, and now they got a bad mark on them because they didn't do inventory. They don't know what they got. How many know when you're serving God and you don't do inventory of your life, you're not practicing a good behavior. You got to do inventory. When's the last time any of you in here has sat down and gotten a good inventory of where you really are and what you got and what was supposed to, what's supposed to be happening in your life? You did inventory. Think about that. It's very important. I hope after tonight that you would all take some time, starting tonight, as soon as you get out of this place, even while you're here, and you do some inventory of what needs to happen. Very important. This Torah portion is called Pekudei, which comes from the root word pekat, Strong 6485, and carries the meaning of appointments, musterings, expenses, that is the number, the numbering of things, recorded records and assignments. I mean, you know, all of these meanings here are valuable to us. You don't keep good records, what happens? What happens if you don't keep good records? Let me ask these guys here that's fishermen. If you don't keep good inventory about what's on your boat, and you got a trip planned, and you got double trips, you got back-to-back, 4 days in a row, you have no inventory, you never checked it, you don't know what you got. You just jumped on and went. You get out there and you're looking for jig heads. Oh boy. And you got 4 days in a row, and you're fishing, you can't get enough time. How are you gonna, you see how it can get out of hand? And so you created a scene there where now you're getting anxious about stuff. Now that you're anxious about stuff, you just opened up the whole house and let all the enemy to come in and attack you in every way he wants. Do you understand how terrible that is? Because we don't do an inventory, we don't check anything. Well, serving God, we have to realize that we are the temple of Yehovah. We are that tabernacle, and I'm not sure we have been checking the inventory. Do we have enough gold? Do we have enough silver? Do we have enough bronze? Do we have the stuff, the threads? Do we have the goat hair? Do we have the stuff that we're supposed to gather up? Are we ready? And actually to open the door and let Yehovah in. Are we ready? Think about that. And it's not just a little. That's why every chance you get to get more of this material, you ought to apply yourself to it. Every chance. It ought to be something that the most important day in your life should be Shabbat. Let me say it again. The most important day in your life should be Shabbat. Why? Because he knew that that time is when you meet with me and I can fill you up. If you need gold, I'll give you gold because my plans are of peace and not of evil. But Lord, I don't deserve gold because you still got Babylon hanging on to you. And Babylon said you don't deserve it. But when Jehovah sets you free, 70 years have been complete. How many know Yeshua showed up and whom the Son has set free is free indeed, and you're not in that bondage no more. You're not in that bondage. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you a future and expectancy. How many want that? He wants it for all of us. So in verse 21, we see the phrase, these were the appointments of the dwelling place. And this is one of the things I want to drive home tonight. The appointments of your dwelling place is so valuable. That's why he puts Shabbat in for you in your dwelling place. It's an appointment. Is not Shabbat an appointment? Passover, is it not an appointment? Unleavened bread, is it not an appointment? First fruits, is it not an appointment? He put them in our life. He knew if you don't do these things, your dwelling place is not fit for me. So there's times you feel like, man, I don't know why I'm feeling, I don't have a connection. Because we're leaning more toward our disconnect, which is Babylon, and we're not having a refreshing of the set-apart spirit moving in our life on a daily basis like he wants to. And that, let me tell you, it's not hard to do. You just got to keep your mind stayed on him. You can be busy, busy, busy. Busy got nothing to do with keeping your mind on the Lord. Nothing at all. You can be as busy as you can be. Being busy is just action of the body. The body's active. You're doing all kind of stuff. But where's my mind? My mind is stayed on Him. At any second, I'm ready to receive, Lord, whatever it is you have for me. And I've seen Him do it time and time and time and time again in my life, because He's faithful. We might slack, we might be short on some of the things we do, but He's never not been unfaithful to it. He's always been faithful. Amen. So the appointments of the dwelling place is something that we should focus on. And I hope that you focus on that tonight. We see that this section from verse 21 to 31 actually deals with the amount of gold, silver, bronze that was collected. And it's translated in other translations, these are the records of the tabernacle. Some translations put it, these are the records of the tabernacle. There was an inventory of the goods that were brought in as voluntary offerings. Now, we don't have to pay the price that was paid for these goods and services. They were brought voluntarily from the people. It wasn't their tithe. They just brought an offering. Now, I got some figures here that'll blow your mind on how much these offerings were. It was incredible how much the amount was. If we use today's currency, the price of gold today, how many know gold's up? From last year, goes up several hundred dollars an ounce. So it's up. So we're talking about numbers that just are mind-blowing. Just blow your mind. Like remember a couple services ago I talked about, this is about best we could do, $600. If you want to do one that was beaten out of pure gold, the average weight of the menorah in the temple would have been 67 pounds. So you figure that out. So a troy ounce is about 14 ounces to the pound in a troy ounce. So you can't use the regular 16 ounce, but you do a troy ounce. You figure that out at $1,990, $40 an ounce. 67 times 14 times 1940. There's to be more than that. There's a major difference. We all want what it says exactly, but it was expensive. They were bringing expensive stuff. Very expensive. Just to give you an example, the ark weight was over 2,000 pounds. So you know where that goes, right? So let's read the text and then we'll go into this. Exodus 38, 21. These were the appointments of the dwelling place. These were the appointments of the dwelling place. How valuable is that? They had appointments for the dwelling place because that's where Jehovah was going to come down. Well, if we're the dwelling place, are there not appointments for this dwelling place? There's not, well, I decided I didn't want to. There's no decision that you decided. There are appointments. And then when you go against God's appointments, you're going against His direct command. If you go against His command, that is sin. Let me understand that. So we still stuck in the Babylonian sin when we can't figure out that when you come and you join forces with Jehovah and you become a part of His family and He's going to dwell in our tabernacle, we have appointments that we got to attend to. We don't get by with them. They're appointments. And so you say, well, every now and then I just schedule something and it falls on the appointments. Then unschedule it. 2022, if you want to see your life completely change, completely, I'm talking about your lost loved ones, you wake up and their lives are changed completely. Where the power of God moves mighty on them is when we get it right, then this thing will flow out. It'll flow out mightily. Because I've been asking God for miracles, and I've been asking why this and why that, and He answered me today. You want to know why? Your dwelling place, you haven't saw the seriousness of the appointment of your dwelling place. Valuable. It's valuable for us. The dwelling place of the witness which was appointed by the mouth of Moshe for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. And Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda, made all that Jehovah had commanded Moshe. Did they say we're just going to make a little bit of it? They commanded what they were commanded to do, and it was a big list. This list was big. I mean, this was a lot of stuff. But they didn't go and negotiate. That's what we want to do today. We want to negotiate. Well, if I give up this day, can I have the next two times? We want to negotiate with God. But we want Him to dwell in this dwelling. Is He going to dwell there? He's not going to dwell there. He's given appointments, and He's given a list of things that we have to do, and you can't get by with it. You can't negotiate with God. You don't see Moshe saying, well, God, I don't know if the people, listen, He supplied them with the gold before they left Egypt. There's a supply. See, a lot of times, instead of us, everybody wants increase. So when you get increase, you don't go around saying, I need to make more money. That ain't what you need. You need favor. Because favor gets you more money in the end, but it still keeps you in line with God. See, we think we got to chase money to make more money. You get favor. And the favor comes on your life, the money will follow. We got our wires crossed a little bit. And how do you get favor with God if you're not where He tells you to be when He tells you to be there? How do you get favor with Him? You can't get favor with Him. You can't negotiate with God. He says, this is what you're going to have to do. Remember, we're the ones that broke covenant. And we got invited back in by the blood of Yeshua, thank God. And so we can't come in and say, okay, you know, Lord, the way I see it, does it really matter what day I set aside for you? That's negotiating. If it wouldn't have mattered, He would have never given a day. He wouldn't have given a day. He wouldn't have said on the seventh day. He wouldn't have said that. He would have just left it blank, and then we could choose any day we wanted, and we'd have been within the means of Scripture because no day was chosen. But did He choose a day? And should we be there on that day? Absolutely. Because remember, we have the appointments of this dwelling. And if we don't get this right, we're going to miss God. I'm telling you, don't miss God. You won't miss Him because you didn't hear what we needed to do. I can tell you that. Because I have a responsibility to tell you what thus said the Lord, and I'm going to do that with everything that's in me, and I'm going to try to make it as clear as I possibly can so we don't miss it. And with Him was Aholab, son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraving designer and embroider in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen. All the gold prepared for the work and all the work of the set-apart place, and it was the gold of the wave offering, came to be 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the set-apart place. And the silver from the ones counted of the congregation was 100 talents, 1,775 shekels, according to the shekel of the set-apart place. A beka, a half shekel, for a head, according to the shekel of the set-apart place, for everyone was passing over to those counted from 20 years old and above, for 603,550 men. Now, you hear me saying, I repeated this several times, the shekel that was set aside for the set-apart place. How many know when Pastor Josh did that part, your shekel has been paid? That's what Yeshua did. He paid the shekel for all of us. So why wouldn't we want to do what He said? It doesn't make sense to me. Why wouldn't we take pleasure in it? So I'm going to ask you this year, Take pleasure in every Shabbat you can be in. Make it a point to be in it. And take pleasure in all the feasts and appointed times that he set aside for us. Take pleasure in it. Because I may not know you're taking pleasure in it, but he knows exactly what you're doing. He knows if you're going just to show face so everybody else will think everything's okay, but you're still in bondage to Babylon. Or you can just be set free from Babylon and realize that Yehovah saying, I know the plans I have for you. I don't care what the devil says. It don't make a difference how much you've been beat up on. I know the plans I have for you, says Yehovah. It's plans for peace, not of evil. How many know some of you need some peace in your life? You know, sooner leave here, you go to a place that don't have no peace in it. But that peace won't come unless you're carrying along with you. You want to get peace to be in everybody? Bring peace wherever you go. But if you bring chaos and disruption wherever you go, that's exactly what it's going to turn into. You can't expect the lost to get it. They don't know the things of God. It don't even make sense to them. So if you're the believer, you got to bring peace wherever you go. You can go in a situation and it could go two ways. You say one wrong thing and the thing will go out of hand. We had that experience today. We was in the at the Guitar Center and we standing in line. And it took a little while because they were busy. I mean, no, people get busy. You've been busy before. So you understand when people's busy, they're just busy. Everybody's running around trying to help people. And they had a good many people in there. So they had a gentleman standing here and one here, one here. And we was just kind of hanging back. We weren't in a hurry. So we knew what we wanted. We had spoke to him about what we wanted. He said, give me a minute. So give me a minute means give me 20 minutes when people's busy. So we could say, well, you said a minute, you know, blah, 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 blah. What good is that going to do? Well, we should know better, right? We shouldn't be that away. So we were fine. Me and Charlotte were just talking, looking at different things. Well, this gentleman standing over there, he got a little agitated. You can see him getting agitated. He started to spin around like that, walk around. All of a sudden, I heard a loud voice, and I wasn't paying attention. So I come short. I said, what happened here? He said, man, he got mad. They overlooked him. I said, what you mean? He said, well, he was standing there being next in line. Another guy stepped up to the counter who just walked in the door, and they took him and started checking him stuff out. And this guy says, I'll tell you what, I'll go spend my $5,000 somewhere loud like that. I'll spend my $5,000 somewhere else. I want to see the manager. Well, the manager is the one that was helping us. I said, well, we got another 20 minutes. Because he's going to get tied up with this guy. We got 20 more minutes. We might as well just hang out. So anyway, he goes in the manager's office, and we can hear him in there screaming at the manager, rah, rah, rah. I get treated like this. I come here to spend real money. Well, everybody had real money in there. I mean, we all have real money. We're not trying to do Monopoly money. We got real money, but for some reason he couldn't take it. But it could have went the other way. So we just waited, and the guy comes, the manager says, you know what? I appreciate y'all being so patient because I got tied up. You seen what happened? I said, no problem. It's no problem. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. This, and this I'm going to give to you free, and I'll just charge you for the one idol. He's got plans for peace for us. If you go in with peace, you'll get a response. It's up to us. Whatever you want to do, you can do it either way. You're your own boss. You're in charge. You're the way you are, not because of me, not because of your neighbor, not because of your husband, not because of your wife, not because of your children, not because of the job. You're the way you are because of you. And you can change that when 70 years are complete. You got to realize that Yehovah says, I know the plans I've been having for you. When the devil could have took you out, I stopped him from taking you out. And I've been keeping you this long for a reason. I got plans for you. And I want to live in those moments in 2022, and I want to fulfill the plans that he has for me. Because I kept hearing that today. I know the plans I have for you. How many want to live out those plans? I do. But we got to get it right. We got to make good inventory. We better check what's going on in the dwelling place, because if we don't do good inventory, then how are we going to, is he going to come because we're just acting out? We don't do inventory? Listen, I do inventory on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. By the time Friday evening comes, I know my inventory. I better go to the store and get me some more, because if I don't, I'm going to be in trouble. So where I'm going to be? I'm going to be here Friday night on Shabbat. Because I got to go Sunday again. When I go Sunday again, I better have it full, because if not, you miss one, it'll take a toll on you. You say, well, it won't matter. Let me tell you, quit kidding yourself. Don't talk like you're in Babylon. Them 7 years have been complete. God says, I know the plans I have for you, and they're not to hurt you. It's the plans of peace and not of evil. But we got to make good inventory on what's happening. You miss one, it's easy to miss the next one. It's easy to miss the next. Before you know it, you don't know what inventory you got. We can't kid ourselves here. We're talking about God unfolding something this year like we've never seen. Mind-blowing stuff. How many want your mind blown by God? Well, he can blow your mind. He'll do it. Now, we didn't ask the manager for anything. We weren't saying, well, you know, since we stood here and waited, we think you should do this. He voluntarily said that. Because we're going to walk in peace, and we're going to walk in the favor of God. And everywhere we go, we believe that blessings are going to follow us wherever we go. How many believe that's what happens when you're walking in the plan that God has for you? And his plans are not just for the encounters we pick. There's encounters you know nothing about. There's people you're going to meet this year in 2022. You know nothing about them, but God has already worked it out in their life that you will meet them. And it might just be on a fishing trip. It might be in the grocery store. It might be you walking through Walmart. Wherever it is, you meet them, and there's an encounter for a reason. Now, the gentleman the other day, he made a statement, and I kind of forgot what he said. I heard him. But Sister Nicole made mention of it because she heard it too. He made this statement. He says, you know, I believe God put us together for a reason. And he's right. He don't make encounters for no reason. There's reason. Every encounter you have, you cherish that encounter. And it may be you might be the giver at the time. How many know that? Nobody likes to be the giver on the encounter. Well, you're always pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. But you hold on, because God knew the plan. He knew that you was a good pourer. He knew you could take it, and he knew that plan. He put you in that position for a reason, because when it turns around, it comes like a flood. Now, how many of you know this year coming can come like a flood for you? The things that God will do and unfold. So, man, I'm going to try to read these verses. So he cast the hundred talents of silver were for the casting sockets and set apart place, the base and the veil, 100 sockets from the 100 talents, a talent for each socket, and none of the 1,775 shekels he made hooks for the columns and overlaid their tops and made bands for them. And the bronze and the wave offering was 70 talents, 2,400 shekels, and with it he made the sockets for the door of the tent of appointments, and the bronze slaughter place, and the bronze grating for it, and all the utensils for the slaughter place, and the sockets for the courtyard all around, and the base for the courtyard gate, and all the pegs for the dwelling place, and all the pegs for the courtyard all around. The word pikkadeh is also used in Scripture with the meaning of paying attention. What do you have to do? You have to pay attention. Pay attention to what? Pay attention to what's going on in your life every day. Not just on a daily basis, but every minute of that day. Pay attention to what's going on in your life. Pay attention, observe with care, and show a practical interest. How many know when you don't do this and you're running equipment, you can kill somebody? You don't want to be responsible for somebody not coming to know Yehovah in these end times, do you? You don't want to be responsible for somebody not coming to know him. But how many times we are doing that when we're not paying attention and making careful observation of what's going on in our life? Because once it leaves out of your mouth, you can grab all you want. You can't get it back. It's gone forever. It's been spoken. And once the opportunity's passed you by, it's gone forever. You can only hope that God gives you another chance. But a spoken word and a past opportunity, they're gone forever. And we got an opportunity this year. I'm telling you, it's going to be incredible. Pay attention, observe with care, and show the practical interest. And what we see from this is that it is of great importance that we pay attention to the Word. How many come here to pay attention to the Word? So I didn't know. I said, God, we haven't been having so good attendance like we should on Friday, so I'm going to send this out the way you tell me. I'm going to send it just like you tell me. So I'm sitting there, Charlotte's driving, I'm typing, and I sent it. I hope it hit everybody like it hit me, because it hit me hard. We got to pay attention to the Word. The Word goes forth, and you say, well, man, it's just maybe not on the level, and so what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Tune it down a little bit? Maybe pour a little water on it, water it down a little bit? I didn't come up with this Word. This is what's been written for a long time. We just haven't opened up our understanding. We had eyes that couldn't see, ears that couldn't hear, and a heart that didn't want to know it. But that's changed. How many understand He's now opened up our eyes to see it? And once He opens your eyes to see it, you can't unsee it. And you're passionate about it. Instead of us trying to make excuses for people or family members and all that, we shouldn't make excuses for them. We ought to be telling them, hey, you got to get in there and get after it. You got to take care of your dwelling place. We ought to be more a spokesman for Yehovah. If you're going to speak for God, if you're going to be a spokesman for God, then speak what He speaks. Because if you speak anything He didn't speak and say He said it, then you're not telling the truth. Be careful. What we see from here is this, that it is of great importance that we pay attention to the Word and observe with great care and recognize that all Scripture carries great and vital importance for us. All Scripture. When I read the Bible now, it's such a different book for me. And I've been doing it for a long time. I've been a student of the Word of God and passionate about the Word of God for over 30 years. But when I read it now, it's something different about it. It's stuff that catches me. And I can't get out of it. I got to spend some time looking at it and see where else it takes me, because there's something about it that's refreshing. This word, pick a day, is related in taking an inventory. Also helps us realize that we all too must give an account to Yehovah for all that He has entrusted to us. Romans 14, verse 12. Each one of us, am I speaking to everybody in here? Each one of us. If I say each one of us, I'm speaking to every person in here. Each one of us, therefore, shall give an account of himself to Elohim. You think we ought to take inventory about this dwelling? Because let's not forget who's part of this dwelling also. Who's part of this dwelling also? Who's part of this dwelling? Yeshua is the head. We are the body. I'm telling you, the head is hurting. Right now, the head is hurting. Sometimes I see Yeshua in the spirit. It seems like He's just holding His head. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? We want better. But we want the head to just do everything. When we're the actual tangible part of the head. Us right now. We're the ones who come. We're here. We're the ones that can touch people. We're the tangible part on the earth. We're the ones that are praying. We're the ones that are calling upon the Lord. And Yehovah is the head. Yeshua is the head. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He's praying constantly for us to have strength to do what we're supposed to do and be what we're supposed to be. But we miss it sometimes because we never read Romans 14, 12 in a long time. You're going to give an account. Every one of us, we're going to give an account for what we do. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 13 through 30 is also a reminder for us of this fact. So I'm not going to give you a chance just to read it. We're going to look at it together. Now, Pastor Josh can tell you none of this is in our Torah portion. This has all been added because of how valuable it is. The parable of the talent. Verse 14. For it is like a man going from home who calls his own servant and delivers his possession to them. Who's the speaker here in the parable of the talent? Yeshua. Should we listen to him? He's the head of this dwelling, and we got to take inventory of what's going on in the body. And overall, we look at it individually. We have to do that. We do it as a family unit. How many of you know your family units? What do? As the priest of the home, you take inventory of what's going on in the house. You're trying to figure out, you know, are we making enough money? Do we have a place to live? When it's cold, is the heat working? When it's hot, is the air conditioning working? You have to do these things. And it gets tiresome. It's a lot of stuff you got to do, right? Do we have enough food? We got children. We got to feed them, right? You don't just have them. They eat. At least mine did. They eat a lot. They just eat. You know, they don't work. When they're kids, they don't work at all. They just show up and eat. And they eat and eat and eat and eat. Now, we can laugh at that, but that's exactly how we are, like a bunch of kids. We want to come to church and just eat, eat, eat. But we don't want no job. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to take no inventory. Are you kidding me? We're here to eat, 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 eat. And that's what church is designed. And what church did, they set themselves up for that type of failure. We're going to feed everybody. That's all. We're going to love everybody and feed everybody. We're not teaching people to take inventory that they're the dwelling place of Jehovah. He wants to move in their house. And so the only relationship they have is to the church first and then to Jehovah. That's it. We teach people how to have a relationship for themselves. You have to have a relationship with him. If your relationship with him is right, you don't have to worry about people attending church. They're going to be there. You don't have to worry about people doing what their part when it comes to their finances. They're going to do it because they're trained to do that because they're following what the prescribed method is that he's given in the scripture. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be looking after people all the time. They already know. When Shabbat comes, where they at? In the Shabbat service. When the feast days come around, where they at? In the feast services. And when it's time for them to go to work, where they at? They're at work because they know it's their responsibility. They have a responsibility. And they're going to tend to that responsibility. They have a wife to tend to. They promised each other they were going to look after each other. And you have a wife that's home, what is she doing? She knows she has a responsibility. Listen, if you knock him down, he will be down. Are you hearing me? But if you lift him up, he will be lifted up. You just got to try it more than one day. I promise you, you lift him up and you pray God's blessings. Because if you knock him down, you have no idea when Jehovah says, I know the plans I have for him. And they're of peace, not of evil. Don't be the evil speaker. God's got plans, and they're powerful. And sometimes we forget what God's, who's actually the one who's created everything. Man is gone from home who calls his own servant and delivers his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and went from home. Now, I want you to understand this about the talents. He gives 5 because that person has exercised the responsibility to obtain 5. Now, was he paying him 5 talents or was he giving him 5 talents? He was giving him based upon his talent that he had obtained through what God looked at, his life. 2 to 1, did he look at any of those as different? They were all the same to God. The 1, it was his ability. That's all he was ever going to be. He wasn't going to be anything else other than what he was willing to possess. How many know once God gives you 5 talents, you got to be willing to possess something? You got to take inventory. And he who had received the 5 went and worked with them. What did he work with? When he says them, what is he talking about them? He worked with them. He worked with the 5 that was given to him. What did he have before the 5? He had nothing. But he was given 5. And he worked with them 5 that he was given. I mean, see what happens when you work. Something miraculous starts to happen. And he made another 5 talents with the 5 that he worked with. Like now he's got how many? He's got 10. I mean, see progress there. So we're going along and we take an inventory of our life and we see what God has given us. Eternal life, a new start, of being born again. What am I going to do? I'm going to work hard at not disappointing him. I'm not just going to set it on coast and say, well, let somebody else do it. I'm glad I'm saved. They just need to get better. They need to get with it. What about our responsibility? So the guy's got 10 now. In the same way, he with the 2 also, and he gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 went away and dug in the ground and hid the silver of his master. He hid the silver of his master. So the 1 he gave 1 to, how many he's got now? Still got the 1. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. How many know the account's going to get settled? We can try to kid ourselves all we want. The account's going to get settled. Because God says, I know the plans I have for you. And if his plans was for 5 talents, his expectation was for 5 more talents. If that was his plan was for 2 talents, his expectation is 2 more talents. And 1 talent, to add another one to it. That's God's expectation. What he's given to you has power. It has power to multiply, to have multiplication. That's what happens when God gives you something. It'll multiply. It won't just be enough. It'll be more than enough. Are you here? Think about God, how good he is. And so now it's time to settle accounts. And he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You are trustworthy over a little. I shall set you over much. Enter into the joys of your master. How many want to hear those words? We all want to hear this. We're going to be one of these. Just so you know. Every person in here is going to be one of these people. You can pick whatever one you want to be, but you're going to be one of these people. Well, he didn't give me, I didn't get but a half a shekel. Okay, you better have a whole shekel when he comes back. Don't count what you got and say, well, it didn't matter. It matters. God knew the plan he has for you. All you was able to handle is a half a shekel. Now you got a whole one. Now you grew in that process to a whole one. Now you can handle a whole one. And the next time you have 2 shekels. The next time you have 3 shekels. Let me say, we should always be progressing. Amen? Then he who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy servant. You are trustworthy over a little. I shall set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Wow. Verse 24. And the one who had received the 1 talent also came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So he knew the master. There will be people who say, well, I know the master. They'll say, Lord, Lord, I know the master. I'm good, I know the master. I don't have to go to Shabbat, I know the master. You can't tell me what to do. Okay. So he didn't disagree with him. Watch what he says. He said, I know you was a hard man. You reap where you have not sown, gather where you have not scattered seed. And being afraid, this is the catch right here. And being afraid, the one that had the 1 talent, what had him in bondage? Fear. He hadn't got the memo. The 70 years had been complete. And Jehovah says, I know the plans I have for you, and these plans are to give you this talent. Now you're on your way. Get after it. He was still caught back in the fear of being in slavery, the fear of being in sin, the fear of not coming out of that. He was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. What's the point in God giving a renewed covenant to us if all we give him is nothing different than what the old covenant could give? What's the point in it? If the end result, we got the same. Can you see he's not against you? He wants to promote you. He don't want to keep you in the back. He wants to get you to exceed forward. He wants you to go forward. If you're still living on yesteryear's touch from God, you can't remember the last time you had the move of the Spirit come on you and you couldn't help but weep and uncontrollably because you knew the presence of God was strong in your life, then you got to get after it. You're missing something. That ought to happen almost on a daily basis. Minimum on a weekly basis. And if you hadn't had it happen in years, you're stagnant. You have quit moving. Your talent's in the ground. And I believe that God has given us a group of people here that we know better. We know better. And we don't have to let our talents be in the ground. We don't have to be afraid. Don't fear it. Let me tell you, it takes a lot of guts to stand up and go against the grain and stand upon the principles of God. You're going against the grain of religion, but you're not going against the grain of God. You know what God said, and you got to be well-versed. That way, when you talk to people, you can take them to it and say what it says. I notice one thing. When people ask questions of me, you know, I'm going to give them an answer. But I go to the scripture. I say, you ever heard it read? You know, just the other day, he said, well, what about this? And I said, well, you ever read Revelations chapter 15, verse 3? It gets quiet when you say that. They want your opinion. They just want to hear what you got to say. What's your thoughts about this? It don't matter what my thoughts is. Let me tell you what the Word says. Because we can give opinions all day long, but when we give what the Word says, people get a little choked up about that. They change the subject. We go back to fishing. Because it's the Word of God. And the people are afraid of the Word of God because it makes them, they got to change. And we've been doing it this way all our life. We don't want to change. But you ask a question, I'm going to answer you, but I don't have an answer. I give you what the Word says. This is what it says. Maybe we got to adjust ourselves to the Word. He was afraid and went and hid the talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. And his master answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown. He reminds him what he said. You knew that's the kind of person I am, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you should have put my silver with the bankers. If you were too lazy to work it yourself, at least put it in the bank so I can get some interest with it. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him, because this is the downside to all of this. See, we're going to step into this 2022, this set of feast times that we're coming into, not to mention these Shabbats, every week Shabbats, and coming into these feast times, it's going to be mind-blowing what God's going to do. I'm telling you, it's going to be a marked difference. You listen to me careful. A marked difference of when we finish this year's cycle than it was the previous year. Marked difference. Because somebody's going to get a hold of this. Now, some of you might just bury it in the ground. I can't help that. I'm telling you what we ought to be doing. I'm showing you with the scripture. Now, you can go read these on your own anytime you want. They're still going to be the same scripture. You can read them anytime you want. But listen, he said, take away the talent. So you're either going to do inventory and check what you have and add to what you have so you don't run low, or what you have will be taken from you. And the reason it comes from you, because it's a lack of use. You have no need for it. So, person comes along and says, well, they hadn't used that in a while. They ain't going to use it. I'll use it. You have no interest in it no more. So, you walk by it every day and just leave it out in the yard. I don't need that no more. You ever had something that you had when it was new, you loved it and you wanted it, and all of a sudden you had no interest in it, and it's kind of just sat there, grass grew up around it. And it was, you know, froze up, it was a mold, whatever it was, you had no use for it. It was yours, but you had no use for it. And how many times we allow that to happen in our dwelling? Jehovah wants to come. He wants to show up. He wants to manifest himself in our dwelling, but we didn't do inventory. We didn't make sure we kept all. Could they have a shekel less than what he prescribed? That's the question. Could they have a shekel less? No. They couldn't have had a shekel less because it wouldn't have been enough to satisfy God. Do you understand that? It wouldn't have been enough. So this 2022, we're going to make this our motto. Lord, we won't have a shekel less than what you prescribe. Because you know the plans you have for us, and they're plans of peace, not of evil. It's to give us a hope and an expectancy. Amen? And so, he says, to everyone who possesses, more shall be given, and he shall have overflowing. How many want that? That's me. You can say that's you if you want. That's up to, but I claim that today I was reading it. I went, man, this is getting on me. That's me. Him who possesses, meaning you're maintaining the requirements of the tabernacle. You're maintaining it. Something happens. Something gets lost or misplaced. They have to put the tent up, tear it down. Something could get misplaced. Something could be left. How many of you ever took something down? How many of you ever bought a tent and went camping? You put the tent up. You had all the pieces. You took it down. You went the second time. Where are them stakes at? Where that string's at? Because we never put it all back. It won't even fit in the thing. It's like opening up one of them umbrellas and you try to get it back in the thing. It don't fit. So we just say, we don't need it. So it could have happened, but why you do inventory? Because maybe it was a socket we forgot to pull up. That was a shekel. One shekel per socket. Could they have put the tent up the next time without that socket? No. Couldn't have been done. And if it's not done, can he come and dwell in it? No. I mean, understand that. So do we need to do inventory? Absolutely. So to everyone who possesses, what do they possess? The stuff that he said you have to have. More shall be given. He shall have overflowing. But from him who does not possess, does not check, does not care, does not even give a second thought about whether they are in Shabbat or not. It don't matter. Well, let me just tell you. It may not matter to me. You're right about that. But it matters to him. And when God gives me a mandate in the Word, I'm going to be here telling you about that Word. That's what I'm doing tonight. It might not matter to me, but it matters to him. And you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for him. You're not doing it for the person next to you. You're doing it for him. And so you come up a shekel short, it'll matter to him. That's why you keep good records. Even what he has possession shall be taken away. That Luke 8:18, very important. I think I put it in here, but not. You can look that up. Luke 8:18. And throw the worthless servant out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not going to be a pretty sight. Not going to be pretty at all. But he says, throw the worthless servant. Now, he was a servant. He was in the same house with the guy with the five. Went to the same church, heard the same Torah portions, went to Shabbat together with the same guy that had the two. But the reason was he had no energy whatsoever to do anything. The energy was gone because he didn't realize what was given to him. He had no value to him. Did he have a talent before he got a talent? He had no talent. He had nothing. He was zero. He got one talent. Now he got something given to him. Did we have eternal life before it was given to us? No, we was hurt. We was hurt big time. We were suffering 70 years in Babylon. But when 70 years is over, it's complete. I know the thoughts that I have for you, says Jehovah. Does that do anything for you? It doesn't matter what you come out of. It's where you are now. Let's look at that Luke 18. We have it here. A lamp under a jar. And no one having lit a lamp covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed. And the reason I've done all three of these verses is because of the context. Remember? Context, context, context. But he puts it on a lampstand. He don't put it under a bed, right? Or put a vessel over it. He puts it on a lampstand so that those coming in see the light. What happens when you got five talents and you get five talents more? What happens? People see that. People see that. Man, that's impressive. They see that and they say, I want to get a little closer to you because maybe some of that will good for me. That's what the whole point is, right? The whole point is we live our life and conduct our life in such a way that people want to hang out with you. If you're going around, you got no friends, people don't want to be around you, don't check your friends, check yourself. Think about it. Very important. For those coming in see the light. For whatever is hidden shall be revealed, And whatever is secret shall be made, shall be known and come to light. Verse 18, Luke 8:18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear tonight. For whoever possesses, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not possess, even what he thinks he possesses, shall be taken from him. Did he take the one talent from the guy? He took it from him. You did nothing with it. So listen, we are the temple of Jehovah. So we have a possession. Every one of us here have a possession. Whatever level that possession is, I don't know what your possession level is. You don't know what mine is. But I can tell you, I believe that in my life, God has given me a weight. He expects certain things out of me, and I know that. And I can't let him down. So what I do, I'm not doing it for you. What I do, I'm doing it for him, because I don't want to let him, I want him to be disappointed. Now the result of that is you get to witness it or hear it, whatever that may be to you. But when I do it for him. If I'm going to sit down and read the text, I want to make sure I'm doing everything I possibly can to understand it every way I could possibly understand it, because I know that I'm human and I can make mistakes. I made many of them. But I have no intention to make a mistake. My intention tonight is to get you to get this word so deep inside of you that it burns on the inside of you and you can't help but want to perform for Jehovah. You want to. You want to please him. You want to make him happy. So we've been given possession. What we do with that possession in this temple is going to matter. And if we do nothing, what you have possessed will be taken from you. That'll wake you up. Division in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1. Let's look at it. And I, brothers, was not able to speak to you as to spiritual ones, but as to fleshly, as to babes in Messiah. Now, I feel this way sometimes, especially tonight. Now, who's he speaking to? Speaking to the lost or to the church? The church that he patiently gave his life for. Shaul gave his life for these people. He committed everything he could to them. He says, brother, I was not able to speak to you as to spiritual ones, but as to fleshly, as to babes in Messiah. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. Why? Because they were still babes in Christ. They was possessing something, but doing nothing with it. Therefore, remaining a babe in Christ. Possessing something, doing nothing with it. What happens when you do nothing with what you possess? What you possess gets taken from you. But you are still fleshly. Can anybody say amen to that, that we have these moments? For since there is envy and strife and division among you, are you not fleshly and walking according to man? For when one says, I am of Shaul, and another says, I am of Apollo, are you not fleshly? What then is Apollo and what is Shaul but servants through whom you believe as the master assigned to each? I planted Apollos, watered, but Elohim was giving growth. So Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but Elohim gives the growth. Amen? So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything at all. When you're talking about comparing it to Elohim, they are nothing. They have been given a mission, a job, and they've done that job. But if you want to know where your increase come from, it came from me. When you took the five talents and you started just massaging that five talents and actually putting yourself out there to be exposed to failure, and fear was all around you, but you kept pressing in. You know where your past was, but you kept pressing in because you believed when I said, I know the plans I have for you, said Jehovah. You believed me. It was not to give you evil, but to bring peace in your life. There's nothing more stressful when you got a lot of stuff going on in your life and you don't know how to fix it. It gets real stressful. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are fellow workers of Elohim. You are the field of Elohim, the building of Elohim. So I'm not making this up. We've been talking about the building of Elohim in the Torah portion, the stuff brought for the tabernacle to be set up. You couldn't even set it up until they brought the stuff. None of it worked. Could you have a golden altar without the gold? Could you have the Ark of the Covenant without the gold? Could you have the menorah without the gold? Could you have the sockets for the poles without the gold, without the silver? Could you have the brazen altar without the bronze? Could you have these? Could you have the laver? Couldn't have it. You had to have the stuff. You have that good inventory. Bring it in. Do we have enough stuff? Yes. What did Moshe say? Don't bring no more. He made an inventory and he said, we got more than enough. But this stuff happens along the way. I mean, you know, you forget some things along the way. So you got to keep doing inventory. You don't do a one inventory and then you quit. Right? You do inventory, you check what you need and you get extra. Sometimes you're going along and you don't even need it at the time. But you get wooed over. You say, man, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and buy these extra things. And then you got busy. You got stuff going on. And, well, the time came when you needed it and you already had it. How good that feels. That feels so good. Can you imagine that, serving God? We act that way? That's why you can't miss. I can't stress that. You know, it's not because I want you to be here because we have more people to talk to. I talk to 201. I talk to myself. I'll come here and do it by myself. I was never motivated by how many people's here. But I'm trying to tell you, what's the point in us even having a gathering if you don't gather? What's the point in that? If you want to be strong in the Lord and have what it takes to be a conqueror, you're going to have to make those appointments. There's no other way to put it. We're fellow workers of Elohim and you are the field of Elohim, the building of Elohim. Listen to these words. According to the favor of Elohim, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another built on it. But each one should look how he builds on it. Each one should look how he builds on it. When I say each one should look how he builds on it, am I talking to everybody here? Each one. Each one. For no one is able to lay any other foundation except that which is laid, which is Yeshua Messiah. So let me just give you a break. Here's your break. Don't worry about the foundation. Foundation's laid for everybody. So you say, I'm going to start as soon as I get a foundation in. If I get the foundation in, then we'll start. Let me tell you what happened to me. When we talk about faith, trusting God and believing God, this very building we're standing in, we believe in God for money, and things are slow. It's kind of been our story. But we got a project, and I know how much it costs. I've done the numbers. I calculated them. And I knew how much we had, and we were short. We were short about $200,000. Just a little short. So I done the calculation. I knew we had enough money in-house to lay the foundation. The Lord took me to Hosea and said, from the day you've laid the foundation, from then have I blessed you. I said, that's good enough for me. So guess what we did next? We laid the foundation. Now the foundation stayed here for a while. And it looked like we failed. But I wouldn't give up on what God said. You said you blessed me from the day we laid the foundation. You want to talk about faith? There it is out there, $30-something thousand worth with no building on it. You told me to do it. We did it. We had church on the slab. I don't know if you was here on that service. Brought all the stuff out, had it on the cement. But we're going to do it, God, and you want to cover us? Cover us. If not, we'll do it in the open air. But we know what you said. Well, we've been fought all the time with just putting this building up. We've been fought with permitting and the banks and all that stuff. So I say, God, I'm not going to fight it no more. You're going to do it or it won't get done. That's the end of it. And I never mentioned it again. And let me tell you, from that day, God started moving and shaking people and moving people out of the way that wasn't going to be participating in what his plan said. I know the plans I have for you. Are you going to trust me with this? Yes, I'm going to trust you. And we seen the hand of God move mightily. We saw God's hand move mightily. We knew what God had said, and that was the end of it. And we trusted the Lord the whole way, and God performed miracles. We trusted him, and he performed miracles. People that was fighting us in the bank, they lost their job. Now, I didn't want to see them lose their job. I felt bad about it. But I didn't do it. They weren't fighting with me. They were fighting with God. They were saying, we'll never lend you that. There's no way he'll lend you that money. What kind of church that is? You got no backers. You can't sign a note by yourself. Are you serious? How many know Jehovah says, you can buy into Babylon and be bound to slavery, live in your past or with mistakes, and say, well, maybe that's why it's not working, because, or you can take the 5 talents and push forward. You're going in the dark, you don't know what's going to happen, but 5 turns into 6, 6 into 7, 7 into 8, 8 into 9, 9 into 10. And God sees the progress. Amen? And what we've seen God do, he worked miracles. That's what he did, worked miracles. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work shall be revealed, for the day shall show it up, because it is revealed by fire. And the fire shall prove the work of each one. Each one, who am I talking to when I say each one in here? Every person in here, each one, what sort it is. So what you do is going to be up to you. You can take the inventory of what's going on inside of you and say, Lord, this year is going to be a different year. It's going to be an exciting year. It's going to be a powerful year. I'm going to make sure that there's going to be progress in my life in serving you this year. No doubt about it. But I can tell you, if you're practicing what you was doing in 2021 and still doing that in 2022, you have deceived yourself. When a man thinks he's something when he's not, he deceives himself. That's what the text says. You can't do the same thing and not if you're doing the same thing over and over, you're going to get the same result. If you want a different result, you got to change things. Amen? If anyone's work remains, which he has built on, he shall receive a reward. So what we do has got to remain. Amen? It's going to be tested by what? By fire. So through all this, through 2022, there's going to be some fire days. How many know you're going to have some fire days in 2022? You're going to test what you built. And if it ain't strong enough, you quit? You give up? No, you build it stronger. Do inventory. Get it right. If you're going around and you're looking around, and they, you know, the guys are, well, we're trying to set this thing up. You can't get the altar, golden altar in there. You can't get none of that stuff in there. The Levites are waiting. They're getting tired. They're bearing this ark. We don't even have the building. Where's the sockets? I don't know where the sockets are. You're supposed to have the sockets. Well, if they'd have come and helped us take the thing apart, we'd know where the sockets are. You get my point? Everybody got a job. Everybody, they got 5 talent people, 2 talent people, and 1 talent people. And the 5 talent, we're not mad at the 1 talent. That's your job. Amen. Do it. But don't put your 1 job, your 1 talent job on the 5 talent job. Or the 2 talent job. Do what God called you to do and do it with all your might. And so they're arguing and bickering and they're holding the presence of God in the ark. They're getting tired. Now, if we've done inventory, so when do you do inventory? So if you're taking it down, you do an inventory, making sure we got every, if it took how many sockets, we make sure we got them all lined up. You don't wait till it's time to put it back up and say, well, ma'am, who, you didn't count? You didn't do it? And I can go into all sorts of things, be practical with you. But you, I don't have to. You know, you get my point. We're always looking to somebody else, what they should have done. We all have a job. We all have a job. We have to take inventory because he's going to dwell in this tabernacle. Every one of us have a job equally, and we have to make sure that we're doing our part. Amen? If anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, but so as through fire. So So that it's going to come, but it's going to be a hard come. Thank God you don't get lost, though. I don't know if I take that route. I just had the new CD card. You might as well load it, because I ain't even finished 1 Corinthians yet. It's going to just take me a little bit longer. I'd ask for 5 minutes, but y'all know that game already. They done learned that one. I'm going to have to use another. I come up with something else. What I ought to do is say, no CDs. You're not down live, you know, just, you missed it. Then I wouldn't have to wait for the CD. I just keep rolling. But they got time. How many know the CDs got time restraints, but Jehovah, set apart spirit, there's no time restraints. You ready? All right. If anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, but so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a dwelling place of Elohim? And am I making this stuff up? Now, I read the whole chapter because of the context. He's been talking about how important it is that we build. Who was the building? Who was taking care of the building? Was Jehovah, was Jehovah taking care of the tabernacle? Or did he have people assigned to do that? He had people assigned to do that. Now, who supplied all the material they needed before they left Egypt to have the offering that they could bring? Jehovah made a way for them because he knew the plan he had for them. Now, they were a bunch of slaves. They didn't have nothing. But when they left, they had everything they needed to build that tabernacle. And so when we got born again, we have everything we need to maintain good inventory for him to dwell in this tabernacle. Everything you need has been given to you. You have the seal. We're not talking about a mark. Who wants a mark? The only one that has a mark is the mark of the beast. We don't need that mark. We need a seal of the set apart spirit. We've been sealed. We've been sealed by that set apart spirit. That means we've been given the power to maintain this dwelling place. When we do inventory, nobody knows you better than you. You do inventory, you know when you got a socket missing. I got a socket missing in my toolbox. I noticed that the other day. I went to the one duck season morning. I get down there and I grabbed the toolbox like that. It was raining. So I hurried and grabbed it, and I didn't check to see if they were clipped shut. And I pulled it up, and she opened up all on the cement. So it was pouring down rain, so I looked all around and said, yeah, I got them all. Well, I done my inventory the other day. Got home, I opened my toolbox. All them tools were sitting there. In the pile, did the inventory, and I'm missing a socket. Now, I ain't going to need it until I need it. So what do I need to do? I need to get that size, buy them individually, and put it in there, because when I need it, I'll have it. You got to do inventory. Now, when something breaks, and you go to the toolbox, and you say, oh, man, where's that socket? I know I had that socket. I'm going to be remembered. You do an inventory, but you did nothing about it. You didn't take the time to go spend the couple of dollars that it took to put that one back. You lost it. Remember, if you lack an inventory, it's not your neighbor's fault. It's you. Am I making sense to everybody? Did I do enough practical lessons for everybody to get this? Know you not that you are the dwelling place of Elohim and that the spirit of Elohim dwells in you? It's a question. Don't we know that? The spirit of Elohim dwells in us. If anyone destroys the dwelling place of Elohim, Elohim shall destroy him. When I read that today, let me tell you, that got on me. So if I'm destroying this dwelling place, he will destroy me. May not be instant, a little bit at a time. The more we get disconnected, it goes from one Shabbat to the next Shabbat to a feast day before you know it. There's a disconnect. Don't let yourself get there. Because remember, you got you there. And we're not going to let ourselves do that. We have a responsibility to make sure that we're doing what Jehovah called us to do, and he's called every one of us here to take care of our dwelling place. Now, we have been given appointments. What is those appointments that we must gather? It's not a suggestion. Not a suggestion. I cover that later on, but we're already on the second CD, so I don't think I'll get to it, but it'll be covered. If anyone destroys the dwelling place of Elohim, Elohim shall destroy him, for the dwelling place of Elohim is set apart, which you are. How many know we're set apart? And when you set apart, there's differences in those who aren't set apart. Differences. So if we're following what he said, it's going to be different. How many have felt the difference over the last 3-4 years? The difference. And was there any demand on anybody here to just step up and do it day one? No demand. But show you the difference, and you come along as you come. You're on your journey. You're not going to hear it from me. I got too much word to preach to meddle in your business. But I'm meddling tonight a little bit because this is where the word took us. And if you think I love meddling, I don't like meddling. But I know what God's plan is for us for 2022. And it's not to be in the same condition we're sitting here. It's not to have this same group here. I can tell you that. The Lord spoke to me today about this message. That's why I sent that text out. If we'll take care of our dwelling place, you'll have people sitting on the side of you that you love dearly in 2022. You love them dearly. And they'll love you and they'll serve Yehovah because they've been watching, waiting for you to possess what you say you possess. Waiting for you to be able to put that tabernacle up in the presence of Yehovah, come in that thing and change lives. Can he change life? He did it for you. Did it for me. It was a miracle. He did it for me. He can take your hard head and change it. How do you do that? It's what he does. He does it good, but we have to make sure somebody's going to... So we have to pay it forward. Somebody paved the way for me. I thank God for all the faithful people. I thank God for my dad and my mom, my uncle and my aunt that was faithful, my aunts here that were faithful to God when they were younger. And then I looked at that and I said, you know what? They've been doing this longer than I'm old, and I owe it to do something. I can't just... walk around, go in church when I feel like it. These people have been faithful, doing it all their lives, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be faithful because there's another generation. We owe it to these girls. We owe it to these kids that are coming up that we're faithful. Amen? Paying it forward. Think about it like that. So if my job is a socket guy, you know what? We're going to make sure we got them all because when these poles go stuck in there, the tent curtains can come up. Once we get that thing, then we can put the ark in, and we can put the menorah in. We can put the table of showbread. We can put the golden altar. We can put the labor, everything in place. We all got a job to do. We want to make sure we do it well. Amen? Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become foolish so that he might become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Elohim, but it has been written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. Job 5:13. And again, Yehovah knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are worthless. He knows. Psalms 94:11. So then, let no one boast in men, for all belongs to you, whether Shaul or Apollos or Kepha, or the world or life or death, or the presence or the future, all belongs to you. And you belong to Messiah, and Messiah belongs to Elohim. That's powerful. That's powerful. So let me tell you, Yeshua, let's just take him. When he came, here he was. He knew that he was the dwelling place of Yehovah. He knew that. Did he maintain through everything he went through? Did he do inventory? Absolutely. He made sure that he was covering everything. Am I keeping the food law? Am I keeping Shabbat? Am I doing these things I'm supposed to be doing? So if I transgress one of these, I can't be the sacrifice. He kept himself. So we should also. We belong to Messiah. Messiah belongs to Elohim. Amen? So I'll stop right there. This will be a good start right here.